He's back.
From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 134 of Little Brother for the 9th of September, 2023. Stay tuned, Little Brother's right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com, or you can post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com, or if you wouldn't like to join the conversation, then you can't. I'm not going to judge. So let's get started. For reasons that I won't go into, this first item really scares heck out of me. The World Economic Forum is reporting that manufacturing is the most targeted sector by cyber attacks. There are several things at play here that not only include the high potential for ransom payouts, but also the potential for industrial espionage. As I've discussed in past episodes, these can easily go together. For the impacts to the rest of us, consider the Colonial Pipeline hack of a few years ago, and the impact that it had on the availability of fuel along the southern part of the East Coast. This is a situation that can easily get worse and will likely lead to further similar supply chain problems. Back in episode 132, I had a commentary about the death of cable TV, something that'll get mentioned later in this episode as well, and the absurd manner in which the charges are made for it. In particular, the FCC ordered all providers to provide them with a list of their add-on charges. You know, all of those things that make up the difference between the price that they told you it was going to be and the price that you actually have to pay. As I said then, the responsibility was essentially, "It's too hard." Well, between then and now, the FCC has responded, and that response is, "Too bad, do it anyway." Around 10 years ago, smart glasses made their first appearance in the form of Google Glass. It made a splash for a while and then kinda just disappeared. It is possible that similar products are making a return. A new study out of Cornell University studied the impacts that users of smart glasses may have on non-wearers. For the largest part, technology impacts the users of the technology, but in this particular case, folks wearing smart glasses have a camera on them that, whether true or not, gives the impression of constantly recording the wearer's surroundings. At the same time, those surroundings are under constant digital scrutiny and analysis, whether recorded or not, and they are providing a continuous feed of contextually relevant information to the wearer. The study holds the view that this skews power towards those who do use them at the expense of those who do not. One of my listeners has suggested that it might be time to revive the term from 10 years ago, glasshole. The state of Texas passed a bill that was due to be implemented last week, which would require a few things of porn sites. Specifically, it would require what are termed reasonable age verification methods to confirm that users are at least 18 years old, and it would require a notice to be posted on the site. The warning would advise that pornography is potentially biologically addictive, proven to harm brain development, desensitize brain reward circuits, increase conditioned responses, and weaken brain function. In short, it's similar to the warnings that are found on tobacco and alcohol products. The day before it was to go into effect, a U.S. district judge issued a preliminary injunction describing it as unconstitutional on its face. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. A couple of weeks ago, I broke my hiatus to share with you a story that I thought was the utmost importance. Specifically, that a newspaper in Marion, Kansas, was the target of a police raid that, in all likelihood, was not legal, and which it seems was probably the cause of death of a 98-year-old woman who was the part owner of that newspaper. I have a few follow-up items to that story. I mentioned at that time that the Kansas Bureau of Investigation had gotten involved. The wording of their initial statement was that journalists are not above the law, which is just fucking brilliant. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that there are specific carve-outs for journalism that go right down to the very core of American law. The very first thing that we as a nation saw fit to amend to our Constitution was a single sentence that, it was something of a run-on sentence, but it laid out very neatly 6 freedoms. Freedom from a state religion, freedom of worship, free speech, free press, freedom to assemble, and freedom to petition. Freedom of press. Freedom of press is on that list. No, journalists are not above the law. They are, in fact, protected by law. I had a very uneasy feeling about that statement from the KBI, but as I mentioned last time, it seems like they were just being overly cautious about their words. As they later took over the investigation, returned all seized property, and indicated that none of the evidence collected in the raid would be used. Now, all of that is review. What we have new is that the police are now being questioned about the legality of the events of that day. It's the manifestation of the anti-press rhetoric that has surfaced in recent years, and it is not acceptable. The judge in the case has, at this point, withdrawn the warrant, but there's been a lot of damage done. The withdrawal of the warrant means fuck all. There's been a lot of damage done both to the newspaper and to the government of the town, and there's no going back. There is no undo button in life. That judge is now allegedly facing questioning about her mental capacity and her general fitness for the job. It is my opinion that she is clearly unfit for the role and must be removed, along with others, for such a flagrant violation, not just of federal law, but of the very core American values that those laws attempt to embody. A common theme that comes up when people discuss privacy is a question that seems innocuous enough. What have you got to hide? If you're obeying the law, you've got nothing to fear. Today, I have a story that demonstrates very clearly that this view is bullshit. Whether you like it or not, there are people in the world who are transgendered. I think we can agree that if a given person is transgendered, that's really none of our business, right? Right? Until recently, it breaks no laws at all for an adult to transition. And to be quite blunt, unless you have romantic intentions towards a person, neither their gender at birth nor their gender at this time is any concern of yours. Some folks will bristle at that statement for multiple strongly held reasons. But I don't see how you're going to argue against it without adopting an authoritarian stance, which brings us to Tennessee. Against a backdrop of general political hostility to the entire LGBTQ plus community, the Tennessee State Attorney General was pursuing an unrelated matter of medical billing fraud. In this matter, the Attorney General sought records from a number of medical institutions. One of those institutions, Vanderbilt University Medical Center, allegedly responded to the request, including in its response records of over 100 transgendered patients of the facility, easily identified as such by the records, and including the personally identifiable information of these patients. Attorney General Jonathan Scrimeti has said that the investigation is not directed at individuals or their families. However, information that should have been kept private is now not. I will assume that the treatments indicated by the records were legal at the time that they were administered. However, these records now provide the Attorney General's office with the identities of a number of individuals who may easily be turned into an out-group if they are not already. It's got nothing to do with legality and everything to do with people being allowed to continue their very existence in peace while the rest of the world minds its own fucking business. All right, let's talk about cable TV. It happens several times a year that a story comes up about a company like Viacom or Fox using the threat of taking their channels off of the service of a provider like Verizon or Comcast or Dish in order to put pressure on the negotiations. In the sage words of Cartman, "Screw you guys, I'm going home." The current tiff is between Disney and Spectrum. To my understanding, if Disney makes good on their threat, they will even be pulling the ABC affiliates, which is an aspect of the cable TV business that never really made any sense to me, since you can very often get those channels for free with an antenna and don't even need cable. It happens all the time. So why is it different this time? Well, Disney is trying a play that has worked time after time after time after time, but what makes it different this time and the reason it's going to go badly is that Disney has, in my humble opinion, overplayed their hand. So how's that? Well, the single most expensive base tier cable TV channel ever is ESPN, which that's owned by Disney. For decades now, it has been force-placed on cable TV systems. In a nutshell, if you wanted to carry any Disney channels, even your local ABC affiliate that you could get for free with an antenna, you had to carry ESPN, and you had to pay the price for it. For anyone who already knew this, there was actually very little love lost for the House of Mouse, regardless of what you think about their content. But the bigger component this time, and the reason why I say they've overplayed their hand, is nobody cares. We live in an age where fewer and fewer people are watching TV, and fewer of those are getting it by cable or satellite in the traditional form. If anything, we're getting it with streaming, and believe it or not, antennas have been making a remarkable comeback. All right, so I said nobody cares. That's actually not quite true. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper has gently suggested that Disney and Spectrum solve their little problem. Meanwhile, here in New York, Governor Kathy Hochul has not only urged similarly, but has also directed the New York Department of Public Service to pursue getting refunds for affected customers. Go ahead, Disney. pull your content from Spectrum. I double dog dare you. As usual, we'll end the show with a fail of the fortnight. So in the headlines, I mentioned that manufacturing systems can be difficult to get patched. Bookending that, we have an example, not in manufacturing, but in equally important place in business, which demonstrates the problem clearly. The issue was with United Airlines. This past Tuesday, United Airlines called a nationwide ground stop, which, as you may recall from past episodes, is a situation where all flights are grounded. In a nutshell, a critical system failed, resulting from a software update that did not go as intended. The ground stop was lifted after a few hours as a workaround was devised. Amusingly, the first network to report this news was ABC. Which I can pick up just fine with my antenna. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Julie Bernstein, The Axe That Slayed Me, Chris, Nidant, and Fongaboo for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Fail of the Fortnite music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast, or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or post a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com, or as I said before, don't. Join us next time when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Episode 135 will drop on September 23rd. Stay safe and be well. Smart glasses made their first appearance in the form of Google. Proven to harm brain damage, proven to harm brain development, desensitize brain reward circuits, increase conditioned responses. Proven to harm brain development, desensitize brain reward circuits. I guess the two dogs for the double dog dare would be Pluto and Goofy. Yeah, I don't know.